Today, our text is found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 10. And I'm reading from the New International Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then from 2 Corinthians, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardship, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me and for me this morning? Oh God, open your word for us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. Here's some of the article headlines that have been found in various periodicals. From The Atlantic, America's epidemic of unkindness. From The Baltimore Sun, America's empathy problem and what to do about it. I'm glad they have all the answers, aren't you? From The New York Times, America is getting meaner. From Time Magazine, why everyone is so rude right now. And from Today on NBC, are today's kids kind? Most Americans say no, and guess what's to blame? It doesn't take a newspaper or magazine article to tell us that it does seem like the world in which we live, at least the American world in which we live, seems to be much less kind than it once was. I dare say all of us have in some way been on the receiving end of someone's unkind words or actions. And most of the time it's just somebody we don't know. I use driving in the car as an illustration often because that's where we see a lot of it, isn't it? I imagine also many of us, if not all of us here, have been those who have heaped the coals of unkindness on others, whether it be in words or in actions. It does seem that rudeness and a lack of empathy exhibited in words and actions have increased, and we witness it every day in our communities, as well as on the national scene, as reported to us on the news and plastered all over social media. After citing incidences of extremely rude behavior by a customer at a fast food restaurant, by a parent on a school bus, and of course the infamous passengers on planes, Belinda Luscombe in the October 15th, 2021 Time magazine article, Why Everyone is So Rude Right Now, writes, of course, it's the people have lost their ever-loving minds incidents that make the news. But they are also a reflection of a deeper trend. Americans appear to have forgotten their niceties, especially with those whose job it is to assist them. Lawyers are reporting ruder clients, Restaurants are reporting ruder clients. Flight attendants, for whom rude clients are no novelty, are reporting mayhem. FAA fines for unruly behavior at the time she wrote the article had already exceeded $1 million for that year. So legion are the reports of discourtesy that some customer-facing businesses have been forced to play Miss Manners. And she goes on to describe some of those Miss Manners interventions, such as behavioral contracts at the Cleveland Clinic for unruly patients, a Please Be Kind toolkit by the Rhode Island Hospitality Association, and a Massachusetts restaurant that even shut down for a day so employees could recover from the impoliteness of its guest. It closed for a day because the client, their servers and wait staff were so traumatized by the guest the day before that they felt they needed a day to just debrief. Folks, that's sad, isn't it? That's sad. This rise in unkindness has been attributed to a number of things. According to psychologists interviewed for the same article, the pandemic caused an increase in anxiety and mental illness, and we've seen that, resulting in people being on their last nerve. How many of you reached your last nerve during the pandemic? Oh, amen. Then once businesses were given the green light to open up again, what happened? You went to businesses who were understaffed, and we're still finding that to be a problem in many places. And when we go and they're understaffed and service is delayed, then we get frustrated, and that results in us then becoming unkind toward them. Remember at Christmas time what we did? For this very reason, and bless your all's hearts that you all baked a lot of love up and kindness up. But we took cookies to the businesses around us, the shopping retail places, because of this very thing, the unkindness. The New York Times opinion piece attributes it to the great chasm we are experiencing politically and ideologically, resulting in tribalism, and us, which is an us against them mentality in which everyone is suspect. We greet everyone suspiciously rather than with hospitality. Annie Lowry notes in the Atlantic article that the loss of societal kindness has correlated with the rise of internet usage, especially social media writing. Research proves what is obvious to anyone who has been online in the past decade. For all that the internet and social media have connected the world, they have also driven people into political silos, incited violence against minority groups, eroded confidence in public institutions and scientists, and made conspiracy theorists of all of us, while making us more selfish, less self-confident, and more socially isolated. Daniel M.T. Fessler, an evolutionary anthropologist and the New Institute's director, told me, "It's not actually surprising that it is largely a cesspool. The internet is a cesspool, social media particularly. Because if there's one thing that we know, it's that anonymity invites antisociality. It is easier to be a jerk when you're hiding behind a Twitter egg," I've never heard the Twitter egg reference, "or a gaming handle," he explained. And perhaps the most convincing reason suggested for the lack of kindness today, especially among kids, is the failure of parents to teach kindness to their children. In their Embassy News State of Kindness poll conducted on SurveyMonkey, long before the pandemic, mind you, 62% of more than 2,600 participants see kids as being less kind. Remember the movie Mean Girls that came out? And 77% blame this on the parents. They blame this behavior on their parents. At the same time, the article says, Americans say they don't put kindness first when it comes to teaching kids values. Interestingly, they also found that those 18 to 24 who took part in the survey chose kindness by 10 percentage points over honesty as the most important quality to teach kids. So there's this vacuum between what is being taught and what especially the millennials feel like young people should be taught. Kindness over honesty. Sadly, it seems that rudeness, ugliness, general unkindness has also increased among those of us who consider ourselves to be Christian, who profess the Christian faith. In a September 6, 2022 article on Christianity.com entitled "Escaped the Mean Christian Trap," journalist Joe Thorne says the church is sometimes accused of being bigoted, angry, hateful, arrogant, elitist, and hypocritical. This doesn't describe the churches I have been a part of, and in fact, most of the churches I know well are characterized by love, generosity, humility, and the pursuit of godliness. So he says, where does the negative perspective come from? Why are Christians seen as mean? Are they just haters? Churches sometimes get a bad rap because Christians, and often Christian leaders, are dogmatic in all issues, uncharitable in public interactions, and quick to pick a fight. Ron Edmondson recently put a label on it: Christians can be mean. Christians can be mean. And we've seen it. And we've seen not only that ourselves, but we have encountered people who no longer are a part of a church for that very reason. They have experienced the meanness of those who were supposed to wrap their arms around them in love and kindness. What would cause us to be less kind as Christ followers, even labeled mean? I want to suggest, and the author of that article also suggests, that the increase in unkindness in those of us who are Christ followers is that we too easily forget who we are and to whom we belong. And I've mentioned this before, and I know sometimes it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but we have to hear things over and over and over sometimes to get it. Jesus said a lot of things over again because he wanted his people to get it. But when we leave here, it's so easy for us to take off the church hat, the Christian hat, the Christ follower hat, and put on whatever hat it is that we wear during the week. And we forget about who we are and whose we are when people try our patience, which we talked about last week, when we encounter someone who's different from us or who thinks differently than us or believes differently than us. And we revert to being that unkind person, not the Christ-like kind person. To be a Christ follower is to live radically different. It is to live radically different than the rest of the world. And no, not by just following a set of rules and regulations. Paul repeatedly reminds the readers of his letters that we have been released from the burden of this yoke around our necks. That doesn't mean we just go off and live willy-nilly, of course. But we're not no longer supposed to go and to live according to that check of things, and if we don't do it, then we've failed. We're to live a life after the example of Christ. Jesus flat out said that when he said, for all of us who were burdened to come to him so that we could take on his yoke, a yoke of freedom that was easy with burdens that were light. We think about that passage in referring to burdens of being ill or burdens of sadness or burdens of having a difficult job. Folks, that's not what that passage is referring to. The burdens he's talking about is the burdens that the Israelites were carrying, the Jews were carrying, because they were being oppressed by the religious leaders, expecting them to dot every I and cross every T and then some, and to prove themselves worthy by doing so. And Jesus says, that's not how you're supposed to live, folks. And then he showed them how to live. No, the radically different way of life for Christians is in how we relate to God and to others and ourselves. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us unique in the society of unkindness and rudeness. And the example of Jesus is the epitome of that radical way of life. What Paul defines in the fruit of the Spirit and here in our 2 Corinthians passage illustrates that radical way of life. Toward the end of the chapter before today's reading, in chapter 5, before chapter 6, in 2 Corinthians, Paul has reminded the followers that because of the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit within us, we are Christ ambassadors. We are Christ ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us, he said. As though God is making his appeal through us, as though God is working through us to make his appeal to others to come into relationship with him. We are his ambassadors. We are made new by virtue of our baptism for that purpose. For that purpose of inviting others into that relationship that we have with Christ. Thus, in today's passage, Paul is then painting a portrait, so to speak, of what that ambassador looks like. He's giving us this beautiful image of what that ambassador looks like in the world, some of which he himself has lived as he has been ridiculed. And right there in verse 6, we find it. One of the brushstrokes in the portrait adds the dimensions of kindness layered on the heels of patience, as it is in Paul's listing of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I have become aware of a pattern in the listing of the manifestations of the fruit. And I'll be honest, I have done some things with the fruit of the Spirit, but I've never done a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. I've never taught a class specifically on the fruit of the Spirit. So this is really more in-depth than I have gone in the fruit of the Spirit. And it's become aware to me as we're doing this that it's like a ripple effect. Each of the attributes is like a ripple after a stone has been thrown into a still pond. And it's like the Holy Spirit is that big rock that's tossed into that pond. And out of that collision of that stone into the water, you begin to have this ripple of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the way out to self-control. And it's interesting that in that ripple effect, as soon as a ripple ceases to occur, there are no ripples after it. And so for kindness to occur, love, joy, peace, patience have to also be manifest in us. And so on and so forth. And so if we find ourselves struggling with kindness, then it causes us, or should be an opportunity for us to pause, to pull back and to pause and to look and see, okay, where's the gap? What is it before this that's causing me to not be kind? Is it patience? Patience and kindness go hand in hand, don't they? But it's all of it. It's all of it. Without the ability to love as God loves and experience and reflect true joy, it is hard for us to live at peace with others. When we are unable to love as God loves and experience true joy and live at peace with others, we find ourselves impatient with them. And when inability to love, lack of joy, and contentious relationships lead to impatience, then we are prone to act in ways that are unkind toward others. So if we find ourselves unkind, then we need to pause, as I said, and pull back and spend some time with God reflecting on where in that ripple effect, the ripples have stopped. Interestingly, the Greek word for kindness in these passages is kritotes, with the Strong's dictionary defining as not to a virtue of a person that encompasses only to a person's words and countenance. It's not just how we speak or how we act that is referred to in this word of kindness. It refers to the virtue that pervades and penetrates the whole nature, that mellows anything harsh and austere. It's kind of like that mellowing with age kind of thing. You young people will understand that one day. It is that virtue that is gentle, charming, and calm, suited to the company of all good people, attracting their friendship, delightful in encouragement, and moderate in manners. It's just who we are. All of these, this fruit of the Spirit, as we grow into that likeness of Christ, all of this fruit of the Spirit, becomes who we are. It's everything about our identity. It's about our, it's like the eye color that we have, the hair color. It's about all of those things of who we are. It's as important to us as all of who we are physically. And that is what is reflected in how we live. It is a state of being that comes from what we have already mentioned. Remembering who we are as created in the image of Christ, as those who have been made new in Christ Jesus, and as those empowered with the Spirit to be ambassadors for Christ. Now, many of you see on Facebook just as many memes about kindness as you do articles and words about unkind things. And there is actually a national random acts of kindness day in our country. And I didn't think about to look and see what day that is. But that came out of just someone simply writing down on a napkin or a placemat in a restaurant the words, "Practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty." That was Ann Herbert at a restaurant in Sausalito, California in 1982. And that statement alone grew and kind of became infectious and contagious. And before long, people began practicing random acts of kindness. And there was even a book, someone actually wrote a book about random acts of kindness, telling the stories of people who practiced random acts of kindness. So today we have a national Random Acts of Kindness Day. But it's sad that we have to be reminded to act kindly, isn't it? As wonderful as that day is, and as many smiles as I saw as I mentioned that day, it is sad that we have to be reminded to act kindly. That should be who we are, as this word is used in the Greek in this passage. And if we act kindly, it does make a difference. They've shown through studies that kindness is contagious. It really is contagious. How many of you have gone through a drive-thru and the person before you paid for your drink or your meal or whatever? Well, what are you prone to do? Pay it forward, right? Pay for the person behind you. And so on and so on. Now, I've actually heard that they've interviewed people who work at those windows, and they really wish people wouldn't do that. Not because it's not kind for the people in line, but it makes it a headache for them trying to figure out who's paid and who hasn't paid. But still, that's the thing. When you receive a kindness, you want to pass that kindness along. Or even when you observe a kindness, it triggers something in you that makes you want to act kindly towards others as well. It also has health benefits for us. Did you know acting kindly can help us with our health? I just think it is just amazing. I mentioned this when we talked about love. I think it's just amazing that God has engineered our bodies in such a way that when we live Christ-like, we are healthier. And it has nothing to do with food laws. It's in how we live. It's how we relate to other people. That God has designed us in such a way that when we love other people, act kindly to other people, relate to others as Jesus Christ related to them, we are healthier for it physically. Now, folks, that's amazing. And that has really just kind of blown my mind in all of this. But it can help us with our, it lowers our blood pressure, it increases our sense of happiness and joy, our purpose, our self-esteem, our empathy, it improves our mood. It is that stress hormone is decreased, which directly impacts our stress levels. And people who give of themselves in a balanced way also tend to be healthier and live longer. We live longer when we are kind. If you want to live longer, then just be nice. Just be nice. It can increase our sense of connectivity with others, can directly impact loneliness, improve low mood, and enhance relationships in general. Physiologically, kindness can positively change your brain. We can change our brain. Being kind boosts serotonin and dopamine, which are neurotransmitters in the brain that give you feelings of satisfaction and well-being and cause the pleasure reward centers in your brain to light up. Endorphins, which are your body's natural painkiller, also can be released. So if you have a headache, be kind. If you're sore, be kind. Who knows? It might make a difference in how you feel physically. When we started this series, I referenced a book of the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. But there's a quote that you often see by the Dalai Lama that says, "Be kind whenever possible. It is always possible." And nothing could be more true. It is always possible to be kind. Kindness does not cost a thing. It doesn't require a lot of time or energy. You can certainly spend money, yes, being kind. You can certainly take time being kind. You can expend energy being kind. But you don't have to. It can be as simple as smiling at someone, opening the door for them, especially when they've got their arms full, paying for their meal at a restaurant. Greg and I used to enjoy it, and I've done it occasionally. When you see someone, I love to do it for veterans, when you see someone who's wearing a veteran's hat or a shirt, and you know, to just ask their server to bring the receipt to you. And then just to see them light up when they realize someone has gotten their meal. You don't always have to let them know you're doing it. It should just be done for joy. All of those are gestures that you can do. Mow your neighbor's lawn. Pull their garbage can in. When Greg was sick, someone started pulling my garbage can up the hill, and I never knew who it was. But it was nice to have that, just that act of kindness that helped me during that time. Say hello. Look someone in the eyes and say hello. Just looking people in the eyes and speaking to them, acknowledging their existence, makes a huge difference. If we want to change the community around us, the world around us, start by being kind. Being kind. I mentioned in our Facebook announcement about our worship this morning that in October 1969, Glenn Campbell's song, "Try a Little Kindness," was released. It was written by Kurt Sapaw, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, and Bobby Austin. And it came in a time of great unrest in the country. Protest against the Vietnam War, race riots during the Civil Rights Movement, increasing poverty, and just a changing culture in general. Think of Woodstock and all that was going on in the late 60s and early 70s. It was a message that needed to be heard, but then it's a message that needs to be heard today. And I love the words of the chorus, which read, "You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets." And I love that last couple of lines. When we're kind to people, even people that we think are narrow-minded, it enables us to overlook that and to still see them in the image of God. When we show a little kindness, we are letting the light of Christ shine through us. We are being ambassadors of Christ, allowing God to appeal to those around us, inviting them into relationship. So Wesleyans, let's go and practice kindness, not just on hashtag National Random Act of Kindness Day, but every day. Let's spread kindness like glitter. Yes, like glitter. You know what glitter does. It sticks to everything, and you can't get rid of it. And so a week later, a month later, or even a year later, you'll come back, and all of a sudden, the light will hit it just right, and there's that glitter. And it reminds you of what somebody did, that act of kindness. So leave today and go out in this world and spread kindness like glitter, because it's not going to go away if you do. Let us practice kindness. Let that fruit of the Spirit be manifested through kindness in us and through us. Let us pray. Oh God, I know I have many times in my life been unkind. We all have. And it is embarrassing to admit that, because I think it's easy for us as Christians to think we would never act that way. And sometimes, sadly, it's not that we realize it ourselves, but that someone points it out to us, and that hurts. Lord, forgive us for those many times that we have acted unkindly toward others, when we have not been a good ambassador for you, when instead of letting our light shine, we have extinguished the light of your love to others. As we leave today, may we really spread kindness like glitter. And Lord, may your light hit that glitter so brightly that it shines to the world, and that it remains there and is seen, so that others are also inspired to act kindly and to want to know where that kindness comes from. That it comes from love. It comes from peace. It comes from joy and patience. It comes from you. Lord, let us try a little kindness. Amen.